you're dipping into the book of 2 Thessalonians in order to expound and expand upon the book of Revelation? Yes, I am. And I'm convinced that this is what I need to do today and tomorrow. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because I told you that I had a loose end to tie up here concerning how God, and this is an important truth. You must know this truth to keep your peace in this day. The important truth, or in any day for that matter, the important truth that God purposely sets things out there that are wrong. Now, I'm not saying that God himself is wrong. I'm just saying that he puts deceptions in place, again, so that there can be this great divide. Because what did Jesus say? I didn't come to bring families together. I came to bring a sword. Yet we are seeing, even in the body of Christ, this false, impulsive need for unity. Now look, Paul prayed for unity. He wanted unity. And I am all for unity and fellowship. But I am not for unity and fellowship if it means discounting or marginalizing or even compromising the truth of the evangel. Will not do it. Will not do it. Paul never did it. He wants us to come to unity of the faith. And what is our faith based on? It's based on teaching. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you that God is also vitally set on this. And it would seem counterproductive for him to put false teachings, for him to purposely make sure that scripture is mistranslated, or for him purposely to put a deception into the world. How is this making unity? Because you need to see, God does this so that unity can happen. Because he doesn't want people unifying over crap. He doesn't want people unifying over false things. He doesn't want people unifying over a watered down version of the truth. So he puts out a false truth, and so he drives people off the fence. He's a fence driver, this God. And so am I. Not a slave driver, a fence driver. I'm a fence driver. I drive people off the freaking fence. I hate the fence. I hate the gray area. And so does God. Remember, I wish that you were either hot or cold. But because you're neither hot nor cold, I spit you out of my mouth. That's not me. That's God. God said that. So God sends deceptions so that he sees who the hardcores are. Who are the hardcores to whom teaching is vitally important, to whom the truth is vitally important? These are the people I want. So it's a shakedown. It's a shakeout. It's a shakedown. It's like, you know, you test people. The Marines. You go into the Marines, and what's the first thing they do? They put you through boot camp, which is hell on earth. They yell at you. They teach you how to shoot guns and march and do all these things because they want the people who are going to stay true to stay there and the weasels to get out. They don't want you in there. They want hardcore people who are into the doctrine of the Marine Corps. All right, now forget that analogy. That's the Marine Corps. Now we're talking about the body of Christ. We fellowship around teaching. I'm sorry. But, and we can't say that you have to either fellowship on Christ or fellowship on teaching. No, Christ is teaching. This assumes the terrible idea that teaching and Christ are mutually exclusive. They're not. I'm either Christ-centric or I'm teaching-centric. No. Christ is teaching-centric. Christ gave his teaching to us through Paul, and Paul says, stay true to the teaching with which you were taught. Do not depart from the faith. What's the faith based on? Teaching! It sounds so unspiritual. All you guys care about is teaching. That's all we got. What do you mean that's all you got? You have Christ. Quit trying to divorce Christ from teaching. Back to the shocking fact. In this day of the unveiling, the days that we're living in, coming up to the kingdom, there are going to be many false signs, many false miracles. And it won't matter to people who think that teaching's unimportant. It's just a false teaching. We're afraid it might break up people. We're afraid people might argue. So therefore, we'll just let it into the camp. Ho, ho, ho. Do you know why God was so intense back in the Israelite days about not bringing falseness into the camp, not intermarrying with another nation. Do you know why? Because he didn't want false teaching to come into the Israelite camp, because there was so much false teaching, so many false gods, that it was so easy for people to receive it, because it was a happy teaching. It was an easier teaching. What? God said that you have to bring your sacrifice to Jerusalem? Don't base your fellowship on teaching. The teaching is so severe. No, no, no. Don't do that. We have a better thing for you. And the better thing for you is you don't worry about being so concerned about teaching. No, but we can sing Kumbaya. We can accept anything. This is true understanding. This is true peace. Don't you want this? Yes, of course you want it. Oh, that's Israelite God. He is so politically incorrect. He's so strict. He's so not accepting of other people. Oh, he is, he's a misogynist. He's a racist. He's, what's that ist that you don't like anybody at all that's different? Whatever it is. Yeah, there's a ist that makes it that you don't want anything different. And yet God himself said, I don't want anything different in here. I want what I want, and I don't want anything messing with it. Paul said the same thing in Galatians. The gospel is pure. I don't want anything messing with it. I don't want any foreign elements coming into it. And if anyone, even an angel from heaven, brings you an element that is not in accord with the elements, that is the teaching I taught you, let him be anathema. That is cursed. Cursed. Cursed be you. Cursed be you. This is what Paul wanted to happen to anybody bringing a teaching other than the teaching which he brought. To the scriptures, 2 Thessalonians today and tomorrow, this has to do with the era we're living in, and has to do with the deceptions coming on. Because listen, people are telling me, Martin, there's miracles. People are hearing trumpets in the sky. There are Jews that are hearing sounds in the sky. They're hearing trumpets. Is this a sign that Christ is coming? I said, no, it's not. It's a sign that the Jews, as usual, don't know what's going on, and that they're believing false things. The Jews will believe any sign that comes along. Just don't bring Christ. I reminded this the people who were telling me this, that the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, even though he did signs. He said a wicked generation is seeking signs. Well, he was so accommodating that he gave them signs. But today, in the day of faith, in the day of Paul's gospel, signs are counterproductive. Signs can actually lead people off the trail. And today, this is the day of false miracles. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24 that there would be false miracles, false signs. There would be people telling you, here is Christ, there is Christ, everywhere is Christ. Jesus said, don't even listen to those people, because when I come down from heaven with thunder and lightning, you won't need to hear, there he is. Oh no, he's over here. There won't be any freaking arguments about where Christ is, because he's going to be everywhere. Therefore, until you see Jesus Christ coming with flaming fire, dealing vengeance on those who don't obey the gospel, until that time, you can count on this is an era. You can count on this being an era of false signs. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is saying, we are asking you, brethren, and I'm saying this to you, brethren and sistren, for the sake of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling to him. I'm telling you this for the sake of our assembling to Christ. There are different assemblings. We have an assembling prior to that of Israel. It's the snatching away. Israel has an assembling later than that. It's when Christ returns for them to the earth. We're being called above the earth, and we're not coming back, contrary to popular opinion. I don't want you to be quickly shaken, Paul says, from your mind, nor yet be alarmed either through spirit or some false word of the spirit, or through word or through an epistle as through us. There were people writing false letters, putting Paul's name to it. Isn't that evil? That's disgusting. That sickens me that people can do that. Now I hear that Adobe is coming up with a new program. It's Photoshop for the voice, where you can take a person's literal voice, you can take a recording from them, and you can insert words, you can type in words that they didn't say, and it will be morphed into the very same tone of voice that that person uses. And so you can publish something that is purported to be from a person, and there's the person saying it, here's the recording. That's them, isn't it? Yes, that's their voice, but it's not them because you added words. It's Photoshop for voice. Isn't that evil? That's diabolical. Can you imagine what that can do in the hands of politicians who want to say, oh, here's a recording of Hillary, here's a recording of Trump, or whatever. I know that ship has sailed, but anyway, Paul is saying there's many false teachings going forward. This is the day of deception. You can hardly believe anything unless you're glued into the Word of God. Paul signed his name to every letter. This is me. Of course, people forged it. I'm going to study Paul's signature so that I can write a letter to the Thessalonians saying that the day of the Lord has already occurred. What is that? What is that? You know what that is? That's a false teaching. And you know what Paul did whenever any little false teaching came? He called his scribe Tertius. He threw a pen at him, probably risked stabbing the guy in the heart with his little quill, and he started dictating a letter. He's going, no, this is false. We have to correct it. We have to correct it. Don't let anyone tell you that correction is wrong or that we shouldn't be following up and correcting falseness. It needs to be done constantly. There needs to be guards posted on the wall here. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. Jack Nicholson, A Few Good Men. No, yes. Don't want you to be alarmed in something you think you read, but that came through an epistle that was forged. That the day of the Lord is present. Paul says, no, the day of the Lord is not yet present. No, the Thessalonians thought it was. They were going through such suffering that they thought that that the tribulation had started and that they had missed the snatching away. It should have clued them in. Well, I'm sure it did when Paul wrote them a letter. It's like, okay, Paul's still here. Paul's still here. So if Paul hasn't been snatched away, nobody's going to be snatched away. So Paul says, I don't want anybody to be deluding you by any method. He says, should not the apostasy be coming first? He's talking about the hardcore apostrophe, and the apostasy was already there. But here's the key. The apostasy and the man of lawlessness be unveiled. The son of destruction, who is opposing and lifting himself up over everyone turned to God or an object of veneration, so that he is seated in the temple of God, demonstrating that he himself is God. I don't think this means we're waiting for the man of lawlessness to enter the temple and claim that he is God, because as we know, that is not going to happen until the middle of the last heptad, that is the last week of years, the last 7 years of this timing of God for Israel. But apparently, from Paul here, we will see the unveiling of the man of lawlessness. Now, settle in. This does not mean that unveiling will be made public. It does not mean that there will be a Trump. Sorry for the pun there, a Trump. Announcing that this is the man of lawlessness. No, it just says that he will be unveiled. He may only be unveiled to those with eyes to see. He may not be publicly unveiled. We're reading a public unveiling into this verse, if we think that. I don't want us to think that. So the man of lawlessness will be unveiled to our eyes before we're snatched away. But he will probably not be publicly manifested, and certainly he will not show himself to be God in the false temple at the crisis of the 7 years, that is the middle of this 7 years, the 3.5 year mark. We will be gone at the latest right before that. We won't see it. So this man will set himself up as an object of veneration so that he is seated in the temple of God, demonstrating that he himself is God. It'll be obvious at that point. Folks, at that point, the secret of lawlessness will be over. The secret of lawlessness, again, is that lawlessness is disguised as righteousness. Do you not remember that still being with you, I told you these things, and now you are aware what is detaining for him to be unveiled in his own era, for the secret of lawlessness is already operating. Okay, the secret of lawlessness is operating now, but it comes to an end, I believe, when the man of lawlessness steps into that tabernacle place. So for him to be unveiled in his own era, I believe that this is the public manifestation, and we're detaining that. We're detaining that, and I believe we will be gone before that public manifestation. These are my thoughts this morning to you. I'm trying to be as accurate as possible using the Word of God. And here I am reading the Word of God from a good translation. Then will be unveiled the lawless one. Wait a minute, Paul, I thought you said he was already unveiled. Oh, no. But here he's going to be unveiled to the world. Whom the Lord will dispatch with the spirit of his mouth and will discard by the advent of his presence. The advent of his presence is his coming to Israel, not his coming to us. His coming to us is a secret advent, whose presence is in accord with the operation of Satan with all power and signs and false miracles. I'm going to stop right there for today. The operation of Satan with all power, signs, and false miracles. This is the present operation of Satan. This is what we are enduring now. This is what we must be careful of. For these false teachings can and are working themselves into our own camp, into our own circle. So we must have watchmen on the wall. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. Can you handle the truth? Yes, you can handle the truth.